This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. If you're a birder, you probably got a bunch of tricks up your sleeve to help in identifying a bird. Its color, its size, where you see it, how it moves, of course, its song. Now imagine that you're tasked with identifying birds in flight high over your house, but in the middle of the night where you can't see them. How would you do that? Well, a group of researchers at New York University and the Cornell Lab of Ornithology are tackling that challenge by teaching a computer to recognize their voices. SciFri's Charles Berquist visited their project to find out how it's done. Here's Andrew Farnsworth of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and Justin Salomon of NYU.
This is what fall migration sounds like. A veery, scarlet tanager, and a large chorus of the Swainson's thrushes. We may not know what a computer finds valuable in terms of the measurements. We want to make as many different kinds of measurements as we can, but that intro point to go from human to computer is really about thinking about these sounds and frequency and time, and then figuring out how to measure in increasing detail, and then feed all of that information into the machine listening models.
On the sensors, there is a spectral template detector that scans the audio as it comes in, checking for potential matches. When a potential match is identified, it snips roughly 1 second of that audio centered around the detection and sends that to the server.
Flight calls are very distinct from bird song. Bird song is made up of lots of different notes strung together, lots of syllables. These flight calls are single notes, all almost exclusively less than 100 milliseconds. Humans clue into what's the frequency, how does that frequency change in time, what's the quality of the signal, is it burry sounding, does it warble at all, is there a modulation in it, or is it pure, is it an upsweep or a downsweep, ascending in frequency or descending. Those sorts of things are some of the first bits that we clue into that then we try to translate into actual measurements.
The way we then teach the machine to recognize these is by giving it a large collection of these recordings, and we actually use what's called unsupervised feature learning, which means that we don't have to tell the model what to look for. Rather, by giving it a large number of examples, the model builds a statistical representation of the specific patterns that are representative of a certain species.
Many, many birds migrate at night, many species. The only way to identify the species that are migrating at night is to use these flight calls. So the eventual goal is really to be able to put names on these things at night that we would not otherwise be able to identify, and do that in an automated way in real time, where we could get information both to do good science, to understand the biology, the acoustic communication here, and also to apply it to conservation.
That was Andrew Farnsworth of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and Justin Salomon of NYU. They're both part of the BirdVox project. And joining me now is Juan Pablo Bello. He's an associate professor, music technology and electrical and computer engineering, and is the director of the Music and Audio Research Lab at NYU. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. It's great to be here.
I just want to note that the audio of a busy fall migration night in Ithaca, where we recorded that, was recorded by Bill Evans of Cornell, and we thank him. Juan, why do we do this? So we heard them describing that they're tracking the flight of the birds. Why is that important? Why are we doing that?
Well, I mean, there are many reasons why this is an interesting question to try to address. I mean, from a biological perspective, I mean, the larger process that the biologists in the project are interested on is that of understanding migratory patterns for bird species across the continental U.S. And specifically, they are looking at two things. I mean, the first one is to understand precisely the onset of the migration across the length of a season, and also to understand the composition, the species compositions of migratory flights that are start during that period of time. Now, right now, scientists use two sources of information for looking at this, trying to understand these patterns. The first one is coming from bird watchers. So it's a lot of people watching birds across the country. And Cornell has been very good at you know, gathering information from that community and being able to characterize, you know, the occurrence of species in certain geographical locations in time. But those observations are mostly made by day, and migrations often occur at night. So there is a scarcity of data at night, so there is no real good information coming about the migration itself from the observations. The other source of information is weather surveillance radar, but radar can only tell you something about the volume, the speed, and the direction of the migration, but it tells you nothing about the composition in a species type. So acoustic monitoring really gives you the missing piece of a puzzle here, you know, something that can tell you this is a species composition, but also can tell you very precisely when in time and in location this is happening.
You know, people are concerned now with there are now more wind farms and wind turbines around there killing birds. Could this be something that might prevent the death of the birds from that kind of stuff?
Most definitely. I mean, this is something that is certainly in our mind, you know, for further down the road. I mean, we believe that the ability to continuously monitor bird migrations and be specific about species migrating could really provide new information about the interaction between human activity and these biological processes. So basically, you know, if you have something like an early warning system that can tell you, well, you know, change you know, the pattern of wind turbine activation in this farm and this in the next 3 hours because you have this species flying by you, or, you know, maybe send an early warning to an airport or to a building near your city, you know, to change lighting on a given night, you know, that could have a big ecological impact, but also potentially a big economical impact.
I see that. Now, you're in the music school at NYU, right?
That's correct.
How does that connect to identifying birds? How did you put those two together?
Well, I mean, it's all about sound, and my real passion, I mean, music was the reason I got into this field in the first place. You know, I was a player. I grew in a very musical family, but also had an attitude for the more technical scientific side of things. So engineering was a way to reconcile these two aspects of my interest. And then, you know, for the last 15 years or so, we've been doing quite a lot of work on the music, analyzing patterns of sound in music. And over the last 2-3 years, we've been expanding that agenda to work with environmental sounds, birds for sure, but also things like urban noise environments and other types of environmental sounds from which we can apply some of the same techniques and gain some important information on.
Now, I want to give our listeners a taste of the challenges here, because people will tend to think, you know, you're trying to identify bird calls. This is not what is happening. We're not looking for the bird song that people are interested in. I'm going to play 4 different sounds here, and we'll identify the difference between the two. Those were?
Right. So what you heard there was a sequence of sounds from 4 different sources. So the first two, they are birds. And the first is swing song thrush, which is actually the species that we're trying to identify. The second one is a different species. It's a veery, a very similar call. The third one is actually not a bird at all. It's a frog. It's a spring peeper that happens to emit a call and a very similar, you know, time frequency pattern than the birds. The fourth one is an electromechanical sound actually coming from an alarm, you know, maybe a battery alarm in the sensor.
So,
you know,
car.
Yeah, that gives you a good idea of the complexity of the problem.
Yeah, let me play that again. I guess you missed it. Now that you know what to listen for, let's hear those 4 again. All right. That's the bird. So we're not listening to the warbler or the songs, and the computers are trying to pick out what is a bird call and what are those extraneous sounds.
Definitely.
That's the idea here.
Yeah, the idea is to pick up, you know, first to separate bird flight calls from everything else, you know, from all these other type of sources that might emit similar sounds, and then go a little bit further than that, you know, and even being able to tell you, you know, this is not only a bird call, but it's also this particular species.
And so how far have you gotten with this? How successful have you been?
Well, we already been working with data from 2 migratory seasons, from fall and spring of the last year. And, you know, we already have some preliminary systems which are doing some good identification for a couple of species under very, very difficult conditions. So right now we're collecting the data and developing the methods that will give you some classification, I hope, of around 10 different species by the end, but sometime in the fall.
And nothing is, as you say, you're still teaching the computer how to understand what it's hearing. When it makes a mistake, is it usually misidentifying one bird for another, or is it misidentifying what the birds are versus the other sounds?
Well, it's a mix of everything, right? So in that example that you play, you get, you know, a bit of an inkling for the type of errors that we make. I mean, like spring peepers, these frogs, that was the third call in the sequence that you play, you know, those were huge confusions in the last round of experiments that we run. That's something the biologists are very familiar with, you know, this confusion in between, you know, different type of biological families, you know, but as it happens, you know, this particular frog has a call that just fall under a very similar pattern that certain birds.
How are your detectors different from my phone listening to me and, you know, respond when I say, Siri, what is different about your detectors?
Well, so your phones, you know, the microphone in your phone and the system in your phone is really developed to work with a closed mic signal. So, you know, you have to speak very close to it. You know, it has to be a very high, what we call signal to noise ratio, meaning that your voice has to be much louder than the background environment in it. So, you know, picking sources and picking content on that signal is a fundamentally different problem than putting a microphone out there where you have a signal that is probably very, very far from the microphone itself. So it's a very, you know, a tenuous occurrence in the acoustic environment, and then you have all sorts of background conditions, you know, so noise from the wind, from rain, from other species, from human activity. Being able to pick these sounds in this very, very complicated and complex environment is really the challenge that, you know, your phone cannot address right now and that we're trying to address with this technology.
So you really have to work closely with the bird people to know what the sounds are so you can fine-tune the your receiver, right, the computer.
Well, I think that's definitely the plus of this collaboration. You know, this is what's exciting about what we have going on here. I mean, the team in Cornell, they really bring this in-depth expertise on ornithology, on birds, and on the different species, and in the environment that we're analyzing. That gives us definitely an edge in the way that we develop algorithms to be able to solve these problems.
And someday it's going to be an app for all of us, right, that we can leave out overnight, hear what's going on?
I hope so. I hope that we'll be developing something that will be, you know, of general, you know, available to the public at some point. But right now, there are very important research questions that we have to address. So that's the order of the day.
Thank you very much, Juan. Juan Pablo Bello is an associate professor of music technology and electrical and computer engineering. And he's director of the Music and Audio Research Lab at NYU and part of the BirdVox project there.